We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
This is the ZabeCast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Thursday, January 16, 2025. Thank you for downloading. Mr. X coming up in just a second. But first, oh my God, the corrections that I need to make. Been making a ton of mistakes lately, and I want to correct the record on a number of things, starting with the Hindenburg. I said it was filled with helium. It was actually filled with hydrogen. Helium is not flammable. Hydrogen, as we now know, very much is. I actually read up on the Wikipedia page on the old Hindenburg, and thank you for the many, many people who corrected me on this, and most of you did so in a very pleasant and non-asshole-ish way. You understand that, yes, people make mistakes. They say things quickly. They conflate words in their head. But you're listening out there, and you want me to be my best, and I appreciate that. So yes, I went and read the Wikipedia again on the Hindenburg disaster, and it was fascinating, some of the details that I either had never known or just glossed over in my mind. Yes, it was a German dirigible that was not using helium because the U.S. had put Germany on restriction after World War I, preventing them from acquiring helium for their fleet because they were worried they could be used as warships. Not really good ones, but hey, it's what flew long distances back in the day. This was the period when there was crude propeller commercial aviation, but on planes that didn't yet figure out how to not make you climb on board a severely slanted propeller commercial plane. So you're like, until it gets up in the air, you're at this 45 degree incline almost because, well, they hadn't figured out how to do that or to build ramps or anything to keep the plane level when you get on it. But that was only for domestic travel because in the Wikipedia entry, they talked about, you know, traveling from within the country and then getting on a blimp to go back to Germany. Because I guess blimps back then were a way to cross the ocean. And some of the people that were going to be on the Hindenburg to go back to Europe, I believe a couple of the party there was going to go to the coronation of like King Charles I or something way back in the day. So it's kind of wild to think. I think the crossing took 3 to 4 days depending on winds. Seems kind of fast if you ask me for a blimp ride. But thank you for everybody on the Hindenburg front. Some other corrections. Yesterday, Church dismissively said that Big Ben was, quote, nowhere near being in Aaron Rodgers' category as a player. Got this email, and oh, I forgot who sent it to me because I just printed the... let me find it for you. Hold on a second. Let me not be lazy. Let me just go look. Just give me a second here. Big Ben, so I can find who sent me. David Jones. Thank you. Jonesy, my man. Jonesy's always good with corrections, additions, further details. He says, please pass this along to Church, who claims Big Ben is not in Rodgers' league. Big Ben, 18 seasons. Aaron Rodgers, 18 seasons. Push. Big Ben, 3 Super Bowl appearances. Rodgers, 1. Advantage, Big Ben. Super Bowl wins, Big Ben, 2. Rodgers, 1. Advantage, Big Ben. Playoff wins, Big Ben, 13. Rodgers, 12. Advantage, Big Ben. All-time passing rank, Big Ben, 5th. Aaron Rodgers, 9th. Advantage, Big Ben. Fourth quarter comebacks ranking, Big Ben, 3rd with 41. Aaron Rodgers ranking 28th with 21. Advantage, Big Ben. And then finally this, 500-yard passing games. Big Ben, number one all-time with 4 of them. Aaron Rodgers, 0 500-yard passing games in his career. Career wins, Big Ben 166, Aaron Rodgers 149. By saying I think Big Ben was a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers, I'm not getting into that debate. It'd be an interesting one to have. It'd be one that you can't dismiss out of hand at all. The more pure passer, though, was Rodgers, for sure. But you can't say that Big Ben was not in the same stratosphere category or sentence as Aaron Rodgers because, well, there's the numbers right there. Then there's this. Couple more corrections. John Keller, regarding pumpkins and the Vikings. Steed, I'm an old school Viking fan. You don't go back far enough in the history books of our team turning into a pumpkin at just the wrong time. Other than 98, the Viking teams you mentioned had no real business thinking they were champions. I'll give you 3 real killer pumpkins. Let's start in 1969. Best team in pro football by far. 12-point favorites against the soft Chiefs in the Super Bowl. They get matriculated down the field by Lenny Dawson and Hank Stram. A truly shocking upset. 1975, also best team in the NFC by far. Undefeated in December until the Redskins took him out on a missed Fred Cox hip shot. Then they lost in the playoffs on a last-second heave by Staubach to Pearson. You know that thing called the Hail Mary. When there was obvious OPI, but the ref subsequently get plunked in the head by a flying liquor bottle and deserved it. They were itching for a rematch with Pittsburgh all season, then had the rug pulled out at the last second. 1987, lost to your Skins in a championship game when Darren Nelson dropped the last second touchdown pass. They dominated the second half of that game, just couldn't get a break. No doubt they would have steamrolled Denver just as DC did in the Super Bowl. Anyway, the Vikings lost their mojo when they went indoors. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. They will never win the big one as an indoor team. John Keller. Me being a Redskin fan at the time and remembering Joe Gibbs literally on his knees on that fourth down play at the goal line, I always look at that play and I'll have to watch it again. That Darren Nelson didn't drop it, but that Darryl Green broke it up. All depends on who you're rooting for on that particular day. This set of corrections from Dave Berru. He says, Steed, Amik Robertson was a fourth round draft pick of the Raiders. Not an undrafted free agent. He signed with the Lions as a free agent. Okay, corrected. 1,000-yard season is 59 yards per game, not 67, although Evans only played in 14 this year. Vrabel and Campbell are the youngest ex-player head coaches. Not so much. Vrabel's 49, Campbell's 48. It's not even close. Brady's teammate Kevin O'Connell is 39. D'Amico Ryans is 40. Antonio Pierce is 46, and Zach Taylor is a baby as well, 41. He was a practice squad player for 2 years, and Gerard Mayo, 38, was just fired. Hatch, what is it with all these retreads? Quote unquote. Well, here's a list of Super Bowl retreads in their second teams. Andy Reid, Chiefs, ding, doing pretty well. Bill Belichick, Patriots, ding, did pretty well. Don Shula, ding, Dolphins, did pretty well. George Allen, ding, Redskins, did pretty well. Dick Vermeil, Rams, Mike Shanahan, Broncos, Pete Carroll, Seahawks, Bruce Arians, Buccaneers. There is a precedent for, hey, sometimes good coaches land in bad situations with shitty owners, and it just takes them getting out of that situation to get better. I replied, thank you, Dave. Jesus Christ, that was bad by me, all that. Well, it keeps getting worse. Here's one for you from Mike Matthews. Zabe, it seems that not much has changed with your boy Hatch. Much of his opinions are still very remedial or flat out fabricated. Oh boy, here we go. Both impact your esteemed show. Your opinions are the opposite of remedial. You have well thought out, interesting perspectives that make you sound like more of an expert than any of us. That's why I tune in and download. Fabrication also hurts your show's credibility. I'm still catching up from the new year, but when Hatch was on Tuesday, he said he was sitting on a $20 ticket from the preseason for the Eagles to win the NFC Championship game. He said this would cash out $800. That's 40-1 odds. No book in August was giving the Eagles 40-1 odds to win the NFC. Best I can see was 13-1 to win the Super Bowl and 6-1 to win the NFC. Another fabricated statement. Listen, you got to apply the Hatch mathematics on everything. I don't think he fabricated it. I think he probably will look at the ticket and say, I thought I was going to make more from this. No, you're not. If they make it. Billy Zylakowski. Zabe, it's Gazoo, not Kazoo, on the helmets. I'm sure you've gotten plenty on this, but it's actually, I haven't. You're the first and only, but still, it's not the Kazoo helmet. It's the Gazoo helmet with a G. And he sends me the Wikipedia page on the great Gazoo. By the way, here's a nugget for you on regarding the big helmet. I believe the first or one of the first to wear this type was Buffalo Bills special teamer Mark Kelso back in the late 80s and early 90s. And there's a link to a story on NFL concussions and Mark Kelso's giant helmet. Kelso wore one, and also a lineman for the Niners by the name of Wallace. Can't remember his first name. He also wore one, but they never really caught on. Will the current grandma's couch cover, guardian caps, catch on? I don't know. Mike Hall, my man, Sunburn Bowl MVP Mike from Ohio. Here we go with Hatch again, Zabe. John Cooper did not get fired after he lost four times to Michigan. He got fired with a 2-10-1 record against Michigan. 2-10-1. He lost the first 4 years from 88 to 91, tied in 92. 93, 95, 96, 97 were the four times he lost with a great team that was either undefeated or had one loss. 94 and 98, they beat Michigan. He coached until 2000. Ryan Day is JC 2.0 Cooper. Is JC 2.0. JC 2.0. John Cooper. Oh, Ryan Day is John Cooper 2.0. Cooper was lucky to be in a different era of college football where the knives don't come out nearly as quick. Day would be gone. Day will be gone if they don't win the championship. Wow. They're in it. They're in it, and they're favored significantly over. Wake up the echoes, Notre Dame. He'll be gone, says my man. Interesting. This one from Charles Weinman. Hey, Zabe, with the recent talk about the Commanders potentially changing their name, I'm just wondering, if they win the Super Bowl, will they be stuck with the name Commanders forever? Just a guy in Ohio watching and wondering from afar. Take care and go Buckeyes. Chuck in Dayton. Interesting conundrum. let's just play out the highly unlikely case. They go all the way, winning three more games. You're talking about already one set of nicknames, marks, logos, highlights are being systematically erased in the name Redskins with the old logo whenever they have to be brought up again, historically, franchise-wide. And it's something that disgusts any of us who rooted for that team when it still existed. To do it again after winning a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback, which would be completely bonkers. I don't want to say unprecedented. Let me Google that. Has a rookie QB ever won a Super Bowl? The answer is no. In fact, they have never even started a Super Bowl. So it's one of those interesting, that's a good barstool argument, sitting on a barstool, not Barstool Sports, but sitting on a barstool arguing, hey, what would happen if ... Then there is this. Jaime Leverington emails to say NIL money in college. Good afternoon, Zabe. Just wanted to respond to your comments on Carson Beck and his $4 million deal to go to Miami via NIL, allegedly. You pointed out how he would make more money next year playing for Miami compared to Brock Purdy's entire career so far in the NFL. Why don't you bring up more of a long-term view? Like, Beck is eventually going to enter the NFL, and he is eventually going to have to play under the league's rookie pay scale, so why not get that over with as quickly as possible? Well, because you're talking, Jaime, as if Carson Beck is a pro quarterback, which he may not be whatsoever. I mean, you're talking about, there are Georgia quarterbacks, I don't need to list them, that are not pros, that did very well in college. But they didn't play in the NIL era, and so therefore they didn't make $4 million in a year. So you can't just assume, well, Beck's going to have this long pro career and that he needs to get over with the unfair early years of his first mandatory four-year contract. So I've said this before over and over. The union has got to get on a new deal with the NFL to say, look, we're not going to allow you to force guys to sign mandatory four-year deals or to have no ability to get paid more until the third year of that four-year deal. It's five, essentially, if you're a first-round pick. You got 4 years of control as a team and that fifth-year option. So that's why I don't bring up a long-term view. You mentioned poor Brock Purdy, puts that in quotes, and how little he made the last few years. But he's projected to sign a four-year, $238 million contract this offseason, not too shabby. Well, a couple things. He's projected to. Well, that doesn't mean it'll happen. After all, Sam Darnold was projected to make a whole shit ton of money, and then, well, you know what happened. You're already counting money he doesn't have. You can't just say, don't worry, he's going to get paid. So for Beck, writes my friend Jaime, the best case scenario is he gets to where Purdy is right now after four seasons, and he's got generational wealth. Why delay the chance at that? Even if he's around average, just looking at some of the mid QB pay around the league this year, Sam Darnold made $10 million, Jacoby Brissett made $8 million, Jameis Winston made $4 million, and Gardner Minshew made $12.5 million. Again, there's no guarantee. It doesn't even look like Carson Beck is good enough to make that money. It looks like he is going to be a hang-on to a roster by the skin of his fingernails kind of guy. All those guys that we look at as kind of scrubs or meh are really fucking good compared to the college quarterbacks that can't make it on Sundays. More importantly, you have a finite window as an athlete. Your age 22 season only happens once, just like your age 23 season, 24 season. The further you go, the less your chances of being young and viable and frisky and able to earn top dollar. So you don't want to flush earning in the early years, if at all possible. But the current setup is such that if you're misdrafted which is what Brock Purdy was. He was Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft. Not because he said, hey, just pick me last, guys, I don't care. They fucked up. The league fucked up. They didn't assess what he could be or who he was. That's their mistake, not his. He's got to live with it, though, financially. And so he'll never make up what he should have been making the last 2 years with the Niners. Once he showed that they fucked up by taking the job and running with it and being QB1, he should have had an ability, a mechanism to either get out of his current deal or not have to sign a long-term deal. He could have bet on himself, in other words. If a player says, look, you fucked up, I'm going to be good. I don't want to sign a 5-year deal, 4-year deal. I want to sign a 2-year deal, and then we'll see what happens after that. Because I think if I start by year two, they're going to see I can ball out, and then they're going to have to pay me. He'll never make up the money he lost playing for $900,000 when he should have been playing for $25 million. $50 million down the drain. It doesn't matter what he's going to get eventually or that it's quote-unquote generational wealth. That doesn't matter. It's all about, are you getting paid the appropriate amount for your position in today's game now? And while there's a certain element of you can't pay these guys ahead of production, it's too strict, in my opinion, the other way. And if I was the union, I would fight hard to get rid of that mandatory 4-year deal and to get rid of the rules that say teams can't give a player more money until year 3 of his 4-year deal. My man Jaime also said, I was looking at articles on this I came across. It includes this line, quote, the quarterback tag in 2026 is projected to be more than $40 million, which is more cash in one season than Niners legend Joe Montana made in his career, roughly $25 million in on-field earnings. Doesn't matter. It's not about what Joe Montana made back in the day. It's about, are you getting paid QB1 money when you are QB1 and should be getting paid top dollar? That's all that matters. Can't look back and go, oh, you're making more than Joe Montana. Also, Joe Montana, whore for money. He agreed to go throw a football with the prince of the Sultan of Dubai, I believe. He went to the kid's birthday party because he was a big Joe Montana fan and played catch with him in the backyard for like $1 million. Money. Get paid what you can. Have a good one. Jaime in Arizona. P.S. Please don't politicize the L.A. fires. We need to support each other as Americans in times of tragedy. Well, fires are a natural phenomenon, wildfires. How they are dealt with, how they are mitigated, how they are fought, how they are suppressed, how they are managed is an entirely political thing. You can give empathy and reach out to your neighbor and take care of them when they lose their home. Take them in, let them live with you, take care of their pets, show that human side of we need to come together and help. And I love to see that, and that's great. But a individual citizen can't manage the Santa Ynez Mountains forests to prevent raging wildfires that consume entire communities. That's up to the government. That's up to the state. That is a political thing. Are the elected politicians and the organizations that are staffed by your elected representatives that are in charge of forest management, fire departments, budgets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are they doing a good job? Are their priorities in place politically? Are they doing a good job in California? Was there nothing more that could be done? It just was one of those things. Well, all depends on your personal opinion. I'd say the proof is in the ashes, unfortunately. Fires start, fires need to be managed or put out. Period, end of story. Are there priorities in California where they should be? Financially, focus, everything else. I think people are seeing the answers. They cared more about the sexual orientation of their fire departments. They robbed the fire department of monies because the city was running out of money from other lawsuits and stuff. The water situation in California is complicated, full of politics. It's not good. It's not what it should be. It's not what it can be. But people got to vote for it. People got to be committed to it. They got to organize to say we need better leaders who are not going to be dipshits so that, you know, whole cities and counties don't burn to the ground. Because fires will start. They can be put out. The question is, do you have your shit together? So I'm not politicizing it, quote unquote. It is political. Every bit of it is political. Are the politicians, the state, are they doing a good job to protect life and property? Because you and I, as a citizen, living where we live, wherever that is, we can only do so much. We can't go manage forests. We just have to pay our taxes and say, by the way, please do what's necessary, government, to keep us from burning to the ground because there's the Santa Ana winds and a fire that starts. Thank you, Jaime. I appreciate the email, and I hope that was a nice exchange between you and I. Okay, that'll do it for me and the corrections. We take a quick break. When we come back, Mr. X on the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. The World Series, Super Bowl, the Olympics. The world's top athletes get to play in these top-level sporting events thanks to one thing, teamwork. And teamwork can also protect your financial legacy and your family's future. SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents are the perfect teammates when shopping for a customized, affordable life insurance plan. They can find you the right policy to keep your financial legacy safely in your family's end zone. Get the right life insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/Zabe. That's SelectQuote.com/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo today to get started. That's SelectQuote.com/Zabe.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Just got a forecast in. Cold as shit and snow for Sunday in Philadelphia. Oh, it's going to be fun. Will we have good games, though, this weekend in the divisional round? And can we profit upon them? Well, I know one way you can profit. Just take my picks and go the opposite way. Run, don't walk. Go the opposite way. I was 1-5 in the divisional round. That's why I've got my friend Mr. X with me. Hello, Mr. X. How are you? Excited for the divisional round?
Yeah, but you, that's painful to hear. You're on my article. You didn't read my stuff last week. We had a great week. Oh, that! I'm sorry you did so badly.
What'd you do?
Lead a horse. I don't have it in front of me, but we had a very good week.
You never have it in front of you. You know?
I didn't know. Okay, hold on. I don't want to get it wrong, but I know that as Mrs. X always says, do people like you this week? Yes, they did. But mostly,
why do you say I don't know? Wouldn't you know that we were 5-1 on totals, 3-3?
No, because I don't.
3-3 on the sides or four, because you don't bet on everything.
Exactly, and I don't bet equal on everything. We got Houston. We missed Pittsburgh. We went huge on Buffalo, which I don't have. We had the Eagles under. We got the Commanders over wrong, and we had the Rams. So it's 4 out of 6 games, but the units were really tilted. And we went 4-0 on props. And
well,
props
good.
So
good. Yeah. Good. I will. You know, you send me your stuff.
Sorry you didn't.
Well, look, I gamble, I dabble, I'm in, I'm out. I gamble with my mouth here, but I don't put a whole lot into it because I just don't. I do appreciate it. I love that people gamble. I think some people I know have a problem with it. I think they need a better hobby than that, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, the bottom line.
Okay, let's be honest. Here's what really happens. When you get my VIP emails, you see the length and you move on to the next thing.
Well, I see the length, but I also proofread them for errors. And then I send you notifications going, hey, there's a mistake here.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that helps keep
that.
You on point. Well, don't you want me to do that? Like you sent out a notice saying, I'll take them at 1.5. And you didn't say who at 1.5. And you said, well,
correct.
That was from a previous email. And my point was, you should be very specific in those. Like, really go over those emails with a fine tooth comb. Just
well, okay, that is valid. But when I send it out to the group and it's minus or it's plus 1.5, and 15 minutes later it moves to minus, I send a quick follow-up that says, don't worry about the move. Stay with it. But your point is no.
I know.
I get you. I got you.
Because I just skim those and I go, wait, one and a half, which way? Who you got, which way?
I got you.
Right. There was almost a really, really greasy bad beat if the refs had called PI on the Eagles on that late interception with a 12-point lead and less than 2 minutes to go, and they did not call it. They swallowed their whistles. Probably the wrong call, but it's a call you're not going to get, and Packer fans that might have complained about it should just move on.
I don't know. I think it was a PI, and by the way, it is a bad beat if you had the Packers because that was PI.
I guess so, yeah. But that, you know, hey, how about not getting the fumble back on the opening kickoff? I'm still waiting for the league to give an answer on that, by the way. Tell me why you define that as not possession.
Zabe, this is one of those goofy things that I've been talking about for many years that always seem like insignificant until it really happens. Kind of like when earlier in the year, we touched on the whole sub rule problem and all that. The NFL, because usually you hear the word replay and then it's like, okay, I don't want to talk anymore. But the point there is in all the replay stuff, they dissected. Are you down? Do you have possession? Did you touch the ground? Unless you're in a fucking pile, then we don't care.
Exactly.
Right?
Pile rules.
In the pile.
Pile rules
you see
supersede everything else.
Yeah. There are so many times I see a recovery on a fumble and the guy's down. He's in a pile. Why is it that in the pile you got to come out with it, whereas the rest of the day you just got to say, oh, look, he's down, he's got possession, game over? They have pile rules that are just not fair to the rest of the rules.
Yeah. My father taught me long ago a phrase. You know, Stephen, possession is 9/10 of the law. And that is true legally speaking, that, you know, possession carries a lot of weight legally in anything in life. It does. It's not the final arbiter, but it's a lot of it, basically. What frustrates me is that on these pileups, I've seen countless times, Mr. X, in which a player comes out of the pile and he's holding the ball over his head and he's screaming at the referees and they're not making a signal.
They're still digging.
There's still a pile and the referees are not making a ruling because they want to say, well, hold on a second. We don't want to point one way or the other until we figure out, was he down, was he not? Who had possession before this? Well, if possession is 9/10 of the law, and if that's all that matters in a pile, stop waiting to signal it when guys come out and hold it above their head and start running the other way. But I digress.
Exactly. And I think, you know, you're right. And I think the key is, let's be honest, 4 out of 5 times – there's no angle, kind of like those tush pushes. There's no angle on replay. You can't tell.
But if you have an angle,
you should make that. Yeah, this was the rare time where you can see he's got the ball. He's in a pile. He's down. Yeah. I don't care who scrums out with it. And yeah. they miss that. But it's not inconsistent. They always do that, which is just wrong.
Yeah. Well, replay has fucked up every major sport, especially basketball. Basketball in college now, the referees are taught to call goaltending so you can look at it, just in case. That if you don't call goaltending, then you can't review it. Well, yeah. they're calling goaltending. It fucked Northwestern last week because they called a goaltending yes. at the end of the game, which was not goaltending, and the ball rebounded off into the hands of a Northwestern player who laid it in for a bunny right before the buzzer, but didn't count because they said, oh, that might be goaltending. Let's look yes. at it. Last night, Marquette got taken to overtime against Purdue. Same dynamic. Wasn't fucking goaltending.
Yes.
But it was a bang-bang call, and they're like, oh, we better call it so we can look at it. Bullshit.
Hadn't thought it through. It was like, oh, let's call it and then look at it. They did not think about the putback.
Yeah. Yep. Then there was a horrible bad beat in which North Texas and East Carolina, the game was over between the two. North Texas was up 12, I believe, and the game was over. But it was right at the total. It is 126 points in the game, and the total is 126.5. Did you see this, by the way?
I did not see this.
Oh, it's making the rounds. I'll send it to you. So game goes final. It says final on the screen. Clock is zero. 12-point margin. But you know these referees. Oh, I'm going to get downgraded by the league office if we don't do this exactly by the book. Hold on a second. There might be a little bit of time left. So they conferred, and they're like, hold on. There's 0.5 seconds left. Now, you're saying, okay. You're going to throw the ball in. The guy's just going to bounce it once and shake hands. Do I need to tell you what happened?
If he did that, we're not talking.
Nope. Exactly right. East Carolina player gets the ball and decides to yeet launch from 60 buckets. And game goes over.
You can't catch a ball and launch it from 60 in half a second.
With 0.5, you can, but with 0.3, the rules state right. that you cannot, that it has to be a tip-in.
Right.
The odds of a game being resurrected from the dead with shock paddles, with final on the screen on TV, it's a final, and then pssst, shock paddles to then have a guy make a 60-fucking-footer to send it over. This is why. Gambling is not for the faint of heart. And as always, bet with your head, not over it. Okay, let's get to the games this weekend.
Right.
And you got some other notes you want to get to. Here's how it goes. Saturday, 4:30, Chiefs are -8.5 against the Texans. The night game on Saturday is Commanders at Lions. Lions are -9.5 in that one. And then on Saturday, you got the Eagles and Rams in what could be a snowstorm. Eagles are 6-point favorites. They handle the Rams easily earlier this year. And then the Ravens and Bills are your blockbuster Sunday night game. Kickoff at 6:30 from Orchard Park. Bills are 1-point home dogs. This is the first playoff game in 18 games at home, I believe, that Buffalo has been an underdog. Even against the Chiefs, they were not underdogs. So clearly there's a lot of professional respect on the Ravens right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the game. I mean, that's a dead even game. It's flipped. It started where the line should have been at Buffalo 1. It's flipped, as you call it, over the Rubicon to the other side. Mm-hmm. I haven't dug in enough to know why, other than Baltimore. Obviously, Baltimore is kind of the darling right now, coming off a high and although, I mean, Buffalo beat Denver, who cares? But Baltimore, I think they're just getting a little too much air of recency love. But as I've always said, +1, -1, don't care. Same spread. So.
Right.
But it should be the best game this week.
All right.
For sure.
So what's your quick vibe on the games as we sit and talk on a Wednesday this week? Wednesday, we're talking.
Sure. Well, I don't get Houston, KC. I'm just starting to look at that. I don't understand it. They played in week 16 in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Not way back, just right at the end.
Right.
And KC was 3.5. It was a good game. They won by a touchdown.
27-19, your final.
Yeah. Now they're 8.5? They just got 5 points better. I'm not understanding that line. There's no right. injuries of significance. But as a, you know, in the playoffs, yeah, you're rested or you're flat, whatever. You know, I don't think rest is 5 freaking points. I just say that line's really got me scratching my head. I got to do some more work. But, you know, this time of year is when a novice can do much better because you pick the winner. You throw out the spread. It's not as easy as it sounds. Last week we had 3 dogs win outright, and 3 favorites won and covered. So if you picked the winning team, you had it. Don't worry about the spread. There's something to be said for that. But
back in the olden days, there was a template that you used to share with me saying, yes. Look, the old template was on wild card weekend, 3 of the 4 favorites would win. Why try to pick the one? Just bet the favorites.
Yeah, that was actually when they used to have 2 buys in each league. So you had Correct. 4 teams coming off buys, and I'd say take all 4. 3 would win and cover. 1 would get upset outright. Yeah. And I never tried to figure out which was the one.
Yeah.
Just take your 3 and 1 and call it a weekend. You're right. It's a little different now because we don't have those buys. But nonetheless, you know, it's one thing to say a veteran gambler loves to take +7, +8.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite have its value in the postseason. It does the rest of the year, but it's still hard for me to overlook +8 when it should be 4.
Yeah. So. Confounding the old template is not just the fact that there's more teams now, more games, but also that the games are spread like taffy across a further stretch of the weekend, including the Monday night game. So that's a bit of a wild card. I mean, I'm not saying it favors one team or the other. It's just a different thing that messes up the template. And then you had this year a neutral site game, but the neutral site had actually a lot of Viking fans. They just weren't given anything to root for.
Not a thing. Not a thing.
Not a damn thing.
Two coaches last week, in my opinion, seemed to really pack it in early and accept defeat. I know that sounds silly, but both Tomlin and O'Connell seemed like, yeah, we lost.
Yeah.
Kind of surprised me.
So of the games that are being played, we have 3 of the 4 with previous matchups this year. You mentioned the Chiefs and Texans that met in week 16. Chiefs won by 8. Oh boy, Kobe. Kobe, your German Shepherd, has seen something he doesn't like.
No, that's actually something he does like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, probably. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. So the Chiefs have met the Texans. They beat them by 8. The spread is 8.5, but the spread before was 3.5. Probably the reason the spread was lower, I'm thinking, is they were playing all those games in that compressed schedule. Now they're, you know, relaxed and rested. Like, that whole handicapping during that stretch of games for the Chiefs was tough because it was 11 games in – or no, it's 3 games, 11 games. It was 3 games in 11 days.
Yeah, but that was the before the short rest game. And all
was
I can
it?
Say to you is, yeah, that was the Saturday before Christmas where they let him play Saturday because Christmas was coming. But still, okay, great. That's a half point right there. You know?
Right.
It's not 5.
The Commanders and Lions have not played this year, but the Rams and Eagles have. The Eagles handled the Rams easily. Saquon Barkley rushed for 250 yards almost. And then the Ravens and Bills met this year, and the Ravens destroyed them in Baltimore.
They did.
35-10 as King Henry went for 199 yards, and Lamar Jackson was pretty much unstoppable. 3 touchdowns, 2 in the air, 1 running. So that's why the line is 1 there. Now, I want to look at the Commanders for a second here. We know that they've won a number of games by absolute fucking miracles, right? Miracles, concussions to starting quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just looking at their tougher opponents. And even in the game at Philly where Hurts was not concussed, DC hung in there. The Commanders were in that game. 26-18 was your final score there. And the Baltimore game, they were in it. They lose by 7, 30-23. So I'm looking at the tougher outs for Washington this year. And they actually were not embarrassed. Yes, they won a lot of their games against lesser opponents by force majeure, acts of God. But I think they are going to be sticky for the Lions. sticky. That's all.
I would say my first take on that game is this. I don't think there's bigger swings or variances than these two teams. And the reason I say that is they're number one and two in the league and no punts because they go on fourth all the time. That right. swings a game terribly. Right. Now you can say, oh, it worked or, oh, it did. But the reality is I envision this game with one of these teams were going to be saying, what the heck did you do that for? Okay. and that can swing a game. So even though, you know, it's a 9-point number, I think it'll probably, or 8.5, it'll end up probably 10. You know, when you convert, I know it's kind of silly or cliche, but converting on fourth and fours in midfield, that's going to change this game. And these two do it all the time.
Yeah.
They don't punt. These guys don't punt.
Yeah. All right. What else do we got here for this week that you want to talk about?
Well, notes from last week. My first time really watching a single game without multiples going at once with Brady. Was he that bad all year?
He didn't have a good game. I thought he was getting better. I had a weird, weird vibe from both those guys, Burkhart and Brady. Especially when they didn't understand or key in to that opening kickoff fumble and the decision by replay to let it stand, they just kind of glossed over it.
Or the crown right to the face mask. I mean, it was a lot of things to talk about on that play, and they just kind of, you know what? I think they're used to the 15-play script to open the game, and they weren't ready for that.
Maybe so. I just got a weird vibe on both of those guys. I didn't think Brady was nearly his best, but he's been improving, in my opinion. I've not listened super critically to every little thing he says. I appreciate the fact, though, that he has figured out he can be conversational and sort of normal and not assaulting the senses of the listener with cliches like Aikman does.
Well, I guess what I saw, and this isn't my thing, but you expect a really, really good play-by-play guy to lead that horse to the water and you know, ask the question. And you know, that's Jim Nance, you know. And I felt like Burkhart would just, like, you know, like a bad reporter handing him the mic and saying, talk. And he was just going rambling. And it's like, who's in charge of this show? Has anyone told him, you know, let's focus on this play or this call? Or instead, it was like he just talked for a while uninterrupted. And you're like, where are you going, Tom?
Yeah.
So I thought the whole broadcast was actually pretty weak.
I thought I thought that Romo sounded a lot better. I feel like Romo has taken some coaching that he got over a year ago, saying, look, you can't just be guessing at plays anymore. You got to be more than that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to listen critically again this weekend, but I felt like Brady had gotten better. Right? Not Brady. I keep saying Brady. I felt like Romo had gotten better.
Yeah, I did too, but I guess I give the credit because I think Nance is kind of guiding him a little better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know this is in the category of least important thing of the weekend, but I swear I was the only one to be on this. Did you see the Applebee's commercial? I think it was the Ravens game because it was a night game. We're all sitting there watching it. And of course, you know, and I'm like, whoa, did anybody hear that? And I backed it up. The kids are in the room, and they did. And I replayed it. And at the end of the Applebee's, the person's talking and says something about, you know, this isn't, goes, this isn't rocket surgery.
Okay.
And I rewind. I'm like, how did that get through whoever's monitoring these commercials? And I posted it. I'm telling everybody's, and I was like, everybody's watching that going, it's rocket science. It's brain surgery. How do you post a national commercial in primetime football game and talk about rocket surgery? And I never saw that commercial the rest of the week, so maybe they pulled it.
I found it. Let me take a listen.
You're good at that.
Hold on a second.
Computers now have primary control of critical vehicle functions.
Okay. 3, 2, I think I got the wrong commercial. This is for a product called Rocket Surgery Ale.
No. Nope, that's not it. It's Applebee's.
Okay.
We'll edit this out in post-production.
No, I might, I would edit it out to not embarrass you, but we're just guys being guys, so I enjoy embarrassing you when I can. You're missing the joke. It's not that they let that through by accident.
Okay.
It's a joke.
Wasn't very funny. I don't think it's a joke. I think it was a mistake.
There's no chance it was a mistake because everyone knows that is a conflation of the two things. Now, I cannot find the Applebee's commercial. This isn't Rocket Surgery. Oh, maybe it is right here. Okay, hold on a second. It's at the end?
Yeah. Big meal, really big meal deal. We're eating
good in the neighborhood. Plus fries and a drink. Yeah, no, that's
not it.
No,
that was a lady's voice.
New ad urges hipsters to go to Applebee's ironically. That's from 2012. That was a long time ago. I don't know. I'll have to find it. Okay. I mean, it's possible they made a mistake. I would severely doubt it. I think it's got to be part of a joke. That said, I like the term, by the way. Rocket surgery.
Okay. Well, the only other note I have from last weekend's games, as I told, is I told you that the Commanders fans have called and want to know when is Zabe coming home.
I know.
This team is fun.
No, they're super fun. Very happy for them.
They're deeper than the Packers.
Yeah, you know, you're fucking high on your own fumes, acting like the Packers didn't have this exact season last year where they won a game and they crushed Dallas and they went to San Fran and they're up 10 in the third quarter and they fucking pissed it away because they got soft and pussy-like on defense. I mean, look, I'm happy for the Commanders. Stop acting like you've arrived. Stop acting like, oh, I must be miserable as a Packer fan. I'll come back when the Washington Redskins come back with the Blackie Wetzel helmet logo.
Sure. All I got to say is it's a fun team, and for the first time in my life, the kids are like excited watching.
I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Yeah. It's been a long time.
Okay.
Yep.
What else do you want to talk about this week?
Well, do you want to do any NCAA or?
Yeah, let's talk about the championship game, which still is a week and 4 days away.
Yeah, Monday night, right?
Oh
yeah.
No, sorry, not a week and 4 days away. It's Monday night. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, we need to get on record. Need to get on record. The spread in the championship game is.
It is 8.5. Ohio State's 8.5.
Ohio State 8.5. I did see today. Apparently, shots have been fired between Lou Holtz, Pat McAfee, and Ryan Day. Although not Ryan Day himself. Remember the whole thing where Ryan Day called out Lou Holtz after they beat Ohio State on a last-second play? He's like, where is Lou Holtz now? Because Lou Holtz was talking shit before the game. Well, Lou Holtz, because he's had leg surgery, was not going to be at the game. He said, well, I was going to be there in spirit only, but now I'm going to have to drag my body there as well. Because he's like, the only reason that we would lose this game is to help save Ryan Day's job. I love it. So, you know, the number's big. Ohio State's been rolling. They shot themselves in the foot early in that game where they could have gotten up two scores because of stupid fucking penalties.
Three drives in a row.
After the whistle. You know, let me slap a guy in the face and they're not going to call it. You fucking moron. And I know that he's their best running back. He's very good. You're not going to bench him just for that. And he had a huge play at the end of the first half with the screen pass that went all the way. Yes. But still, I thought that game had the chance to get out of hand, but their dumb penalties, and give credit to Texas, they dropped anchor. So they kept it close. Meanwhile, Notre Dame was getting run by Penn State, but then James Franklin appeared on the other side of the field, well, he does what he does. I would reluctantly bet Ohio State, and I say reluctantly because it's a big number, and I think when teams have a lot of time to reset, and this is a lot of time to reset here between games, I just think that it's a harder out. I think either way, I think both teams come at it harder. Rest is a tightening factor, in my opinion, on spreads, generally speaking.
Yeah, well, it gives them time to go back and work on chemistry class and, you know, other things that are important.
Well, okay.
We're between semesters. So.
Yeah, both teams have the same amount of time to game plan and prep. It all comes down to whose game plan is better. But Ohio State should win this game. They should win it solidly. But I'm not sure if I would lay that big number. I might have to take Notre Dame plus the points.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I don't know. It's Ohio State is so much better. They're really good. I hate to say it. They're really good. That's why we went huge on them over Texas, because I hate to say it, but when the team you hate the most, you know, is going to rout. I always say, like, the only thing worse than watching it happen is watching it happen and wondering, why am I not on them? You know?
Yeah, but so, you were huge on them, and then, you know, they were one play away from basically having no chance to cover.
Yeah. No question. We got a little bit forward. I mean, like you said, in the first half, they had three straight drives on stupid penalties, and they clearly looked like the dominant team, but it came down to a fluke play to cover.
Right.
No question.
Right.
Yep. I'd rather be lucky than good sometimes, that's for sure.
So you'll, for your subscribers at callmemrx.com, you'll release this game when? Sunday morning?
Oh, yeah. I don't have a schedule yet, but I'll tell you, I mean, we are on I got work to do. We already took Ohio State to win it all.
Earlier in the playoff.
Right before the semis.
Yeah. Okay.
When I thought they were going to smoke it.
What was the number?
Six. Came down to the fluke play. Yeah, I think it was six.
No. What was the number to win it all? 6-1? 10-1?
Before the semis. Before last game. So they were just like even -110, baby.
Oh, okay.
So I said, don't wait for the Texas game. Let's take them now. But so that means we'll end up taking +9 or +10 on Notre Dame and middling it out a little bit.
That's what's coming. Okay.
Yeah, so that doesn't help anybody to tell you what did happen. As far as analyzing the game itself, I can't see myself ending on Notre Dame, but I'm not there yet. I don't know how Ohio State doesn't just run away with that one.
All right. Do you like the playoff now that we've had a couple of wham, bam, amazing, thrilling games, which, by the way, both had very shockingly weak ratings?
You're talking about the new format, you mean?
Yeah. Do you like the new format now that we had two great semis?
I've always been okay with, to me, okay. You know, it's kind of
more
like
is
when
better
I eat,
for you.
It's just like eating dinner. I'm a quantity guy, not a quality guy. I want more food, not less food.
Let's order more every year. Even if the cooking was bad this year early on, the cooking can get better. And then we're going to have more good food to eat.
Right. Well, Zabe, one of your guys sent me a note following up the lunch at the Palm last week. And he said, hey, you guys didn't tell us what you ate. I thought, because I get so often that's on it.
I know.
And I told him, and he said, because I told him I went with the veal. And he said, really, you didn't go with the sirloin or the steak? Or filet. And I said, well, I saw that it said 6 ounces, so I rolled the dice the veal would be bigger because I'm a quantity guy.
It was plenty of food, for God's sake.
Very good. No, but I'm still a quantity guy. And so, you know, so I like more games, not less games. But, hey, you know, 5 out of the 6 NFL games this weekend were pretty much routes. So what? Are we going to say we have too many teams? Change the format?
Yeah, no. I saw
some people. More is better than less.
I know. I saw some people joking about that.
Yeah, let's go with more over less.
As far as the ratings being down, what is your operational theory? A lot of people were saying Thursday and Friday night were bad nights. I disagree. That Thursday night is a good window because it's the first Thursday without NFL football sitting on it, so it gave us something to watch there. Friday is not problematic for me because I'm an old fuck that doesn't go out, so it's not like I was at a bar somewhere chasing tail.
Uh-huh.
Other people surmise that, look, people who are casuals have already seen these teams now twice in a short period of time, and they're getting a bit fatigued because they're not native Ohio State or Notre Dame or Penn State or Texas fans.
I, I wouldn't buy that. Now, let me preface this by saying, when it comes to ratings, I don't know a darn thing about ratings.
No, I know, but you know, but about fan behavior and tastes and everything else.
But I would say this. Anytime you split a pie into more pieces, you can't look at any one piece and compare it to last year. You know, if we're going to have games 5 days in a row, and, oh, my God, look, the ratings are down a little. What did you expect them through the roof 5 straight days? I mean, people do have lives. Yeah. You know, I get that. So if you're sitting there, just not everybody could sit in front of the TV the entire duration like me. And so you can take any one game and compare year over year ratings and say it's down. But put them all in the same basket and I'll guarantee it's up.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't give you a chance to weigh in on the McElroy strategic blunder saying don't score too fast. I went over that this week. What a fucking dipshit he was.
I don't think I saw that.
You didn't hear Greg McElroy say at the end of the Notre Dame Penn State game that Notre Dame needs to be careful not to, quote, score too fast with less than 33 seconds left clock?
I didn't hear any follow up, but when he said that, I thought, what game are you watching? This is not Patrick Mahomes.
I know. You and I texted each other that night, if I'm not mistaken, talking about what the fuck is Greg McElroy talking about. Plus, they were at the 33-yard line. God.
Yeah.
Well, I like McDonough. McElroy's not so good, but we're done with them. We'll get the A-team. Okay. We'll get more Herb Street for the national championship game. Just what nobody asked for, more Kirk Herb Street. He is too – you don't mind him?
I don't. I feel like I don't know what I'm watching because he's on everything. But I don't mind him at all. He's very neutral.
You don't think it's too much of him? Well, hold on a second. Again, you're a quantity guy.
I'm a quantity guy.
You're a glutton guy. You're happy with it. Look, I want Herb Street doing one thing a week. One thing a week during football. Do the Saturday night game, and that's it. Don't do Saturday night and college game day and Amazon Prime Thursday. I didn't order that much Herbie. I didn't.
Well, if I find somebody that doesn't annoy me, he can do it every day. That's okay with me.
Okay.
I don't need to be entertained. I just need him not to be annoying and make it difficult.
You know what? You know what annoys me about Herb Street? He won't shut the fuck up. He occupies every speck of real estate between the tackle and the snap of the next ball. Let the broadcast fucking breathe a little bit. We're with you, Herbie.
Yeah.
Herbie, we're with you for 3 hours plus. Pace yourself.
I can see that, and that's something I would never know because I'm too busy telling everyone in the room to shut the hell up so I can hear something.
Okay. All right. For more from Mr. X, go to his website, callmemrx.com. As always, bet with your head, no over it, and only bet as much as you can afford to win. Be nice.
Win. Let's do it. Sounds good.
We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
See ya.
All right. Instead of Kane now, I got the title from my mama, put the whip in my own name now. Damn, put the chains now. Running credit checks with no shame now. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit, and remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
It's the new year. Time to make a positive change in your life.
I went to my computer career because I needed job security.
Because I wanted a career in cybersecurity.
I went to my computer career because IT jobs are everywhere.
My old job was going nowhere.
I went because I didn't want college loans for the rest of my life.
Because I wanted a career for the rest of my life.
Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Financial aid available for qualified students, including the GI Bill. 529 college savings plans accepted. Not available in Washington State.